Hello and welcome to the First Pres Mommy Podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. Today, Pastor Jason Armstrong points to 1 Peter 1 verses 3 to 9, reminding us we have a present living hope and inheritance through the mercy of God and Jesus' resurrection. Let's hear today's message.
So I was meeting a few younger adult friends in a downtown little coffee shop a few weeks ago. And these two young adults are some of the most caring people that I know. They would not in any way claim the Christian faith, but they care about people. They're extremely invested in serving others, those who are facing struggles such as homelessness and food insecurity, persons suffering with substance abuse disorder, and those with disabilities all throughout our community. And at one point in the conversation, we started talking about culture and community and the general state of things in the world. And one of the younger adults made a statement that they believed that each day they lived was the best that culture and society was going to be, even though they're doing all these good works. In other words, every day things were going to get worse, until eventually culture collapses. At that moment in the conversation, I stated that that type of worldview it's practically the definition of hopelessness. Our conversation continued from there, but that moment of hopelessness, talking about hopelessness, where it was declared and defined, it stayed with me that evening and into the days to come. In fact, that next morning, I was thinking about that conversation, and if you're like me, for some reason, inspiration often comes in the shower. It does. God works in the shower. And an image was put into my mind in the shower. And this image was of a sign, general sign that you see outside of many churches these days. And the sign reads something like, "Everyone is welcome here." It's a good message. It's a hospitable message. It's a true message. But as I was considering those signs like that and their message, I want to invite you to consider with me this morning that this is not the right message for the moment. That the message needs to transform to meet the challenge of our culture today, where the younger generations increasingly experience hopelessness. That sign, that message needs to change to hope is found here. Because Christians are people of hope, a living hope that can be found only in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. In times that are good and at times that are challenging and hard, when we face trials and temptations and persecutions, when it seems and appears like each day will be worse than the next, we know that is not true. We have hope in the present. We have hope in the future, in final salvation, through the mercy of God. And we'll see that declared this morning in our text in 1 Peter. And if you read the first two verses of the chapter, you'll see that indeed, as Pastor Clinton mentioned, Peter is writing to the early church spread throughout Asia Minor. And this letter is a letter of encouragement to foes who are facing trials and struggles and persecution for their faith. The first thing I think it's important to notice in the text this morning is the overall theme of it. And it is that God is the one that does the work. God, in his great mercy, has given. And what has God given? God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. New birth. It's often referred to as being born again, born from above. It's God regenerating the believer. The supernatural new birth of the person. The old is gone, the new is here, as it says in Scripture. You may remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, he has an exchange with Jesus about this. Jesus tells Nicodemus that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nicodemus asks a reasonable question. How can someone be born again, even when they are old? Jesus replies, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spirit." And as a person who is born again, you have living hope. It's living because it's of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit exerts his power, this new life, onto our very soul, changing us, transforming us. It's true life in all its dimensions, and it flows to and points back to the living God who's been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. This new life, this new birth, is both individuals and the church's proclamation. It's the practice, its practice and hope are inseparable in their vibrancy in the Holy Spirit. And it's living hope. Hope, expectation, and confidence born in promise. It's not a wish for something to happen that's often declared in our culture, how it's used in our culture, that word. We know what the Scripture says is true. We know what is to come. We know what's been promised by God. And because of the confidence of what we know it is to come, it is joyful. Joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. And it is the resurrection which grounds living hope. Because Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead, because of that, we have the ultimate and secure insurance. The empty tomb secures forgiveness. It secures adoption as God's sons and daughters and the future glory when we will be with Christ for eternity. This truth is why Christians have hope each day. No matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, no matter how high life takes us or how low we suffer, no matter what the state of culture is around us when things may seem hopeless, we have a living hope because of what God has done for us in his mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this living hope in Christ, we have been given, it says, an inheritance by God. Persons born again in Christ through the Holy Spirit, an inheritance as legally adopted sons and daughters of God, an inheritance that is promised in grace, secured in Christ, certified by the Holy Spirit, is shown in our holy living both as individuals and as the body of Christ, living in a way that is different from the world until it is fully restored in the age to come when Jesus Christ returns. Until we receive at that day our final inheritance of salvation. Philippians 3, 20 through 21, Paul writes this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body." Once you're born again, your citizenship is in heaven. As adopted sons and daughters. And since this inheritance is given to you by God, God keeps it in heaven for you, knowing that it is secure. It couldn't be any more secure, could it? Because the same God who calls people to himself, God guards those who are his. God keeps and guards that inheritance. And that inheritance, it will never, never perish, never spoil, never fade, because it's kept holy by God. This inheritance endures, it's permanent. It's untouched by time, by sin, by death. And with that security, with that promise, with that inheritance, you can live and hope for today and for tomorrow. Know that whatever present suffering or trials you are facing, whatever you may be going through, it will not last, but will culminate in an undying inheritance of salvation kept holy and secure by the power of God. And this living hope, this inheritance, as it says, it causes us to greatly rejoice, those who have been born again. even the trials and troubles like the Christians who were facing who got this letter in Asia Minor. They knew about this inheritance of the salvation that they had awaiting them, and so they could greatly rejoice even in their struggle. And the term for greatly rejoice refers to an act of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that gives you new birth, the Spirit that produces, that Spirit produces exaltation in God's saving work that has been done. And the future hope through the new covenant sealed in the blood of Christ. So this great rejoicing it mentions in the text, it's Holy Spirit empowered. Exaltation, that sounds pretty powerful. It's not based on life circumstances. It's anchored in that promised inheritance through Jesus Christ, given to you as God's heirs, adopted sons and daughters. And the trials, the adversity, the afflictions that come in life, they came to the people that letter was written to, and they came to, and they come to us today. And in those moments, the text reminds us that there are times where God puts some trials and struggle before us, trials and struggle that we would never place in our own way unless we were believers in Jesus. And they're placed there by God, not for our detriment or our harm, but so our faith, our holiness, and character can be refined and strengthened. So the spirit of the text, it serves to describe these moments in life as functioning as a forge, where our faith is like metal or gold, and it's heated to remove the impurities. The impurities rise to the top when you heat metal. Those impurities serve to weaken our faith. Those can be taken away. The divine objective being purity of faith, not destruction or harm of the person. Romans 5:1-4 says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And as our faith is refined through the struggles of life, when they are met with faith and prayer and scripture and community, rather than bitterness or self-reliance, the results will indeed be complete praise and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Especially in those difficult moments. Because we know that he will be revealed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his future return. And the text for this morning ends with a statement of what faith is, as is echoed in the book of Hebrews. We talked about this over the summer in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Peter writes a similar statement in verse 8 about faith, where he states, though you have not seen him, Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. We share the same faith in Christ, the same gift God has been giving to us by those to whom this letter was written. You believe in Jesus. You trust in Jesus. You've been called and given yourself to Jesus. Because of this, you have the living hope through the work of the Holy Spirit. You have an inheritance given to you and secured by God. You have your faith strengthened and purified in trial. You will receive the end result of your faith, the future salvation, where Christians are redeemed from all earth ills at Christ's return. That's a big deal. And because it's a big deal, with this reality secured, we should be filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible and glorious joy. In the words, this exaltation is outward. It's exaltation produced and rooted in God's saving work and future hope. It literally means getting so glad that one jumps in celebration. I'm not jumping this morning because I hurt my knee. But let's jump somehow. Jump in your hearts today. Jump. There you go. Jump in. It's a big deal. It's inexpressible. It's a flow of delight. It can't be articulated exactly, but it's joy springing from love for the unseen Christ and sustained by future revelation. It's glorious. bunch of words here. It's excellent and excelling. It's eminent. It's glorious. It's heavenly. It's joy that can only be found through Christ. So with this living hope in mind, let's go back to the coffee shop and the conversation with those two young adults that I had recently. We just heard about the glorious joy we should all have as believers living in this hope in Jesus Christ, this promise and inheritance of the kingdom of God. So what I'd like you to consider with me this morning is if these two young adults were to come to church on Sunday or witness the life of this church during the week, would they experience the living hope of Christ in you and proclaimed by you? Would they find the unique hope that the rest of the world is missing? This is critical, as my experience causes me to believe that this is the fundamental message that our communities and our young people need to hear and see right now. And because I know this church well, I can answer this for you all. I think you answered it when you started the service today on that. The answer to that is yes. They would experience the living hope of Christ here. In worship, in singing, in prayer, in scripture, in reading of God's word and preaching of God's word, I can hear you singing even though I only have one good ear. Make no mistake, that's a big deal too. Because when you sing, you glorify God. When you sing, you minister to one another. You're displaying that living hope that resides inside you. And then think about during the week, the life of the church. Numerous groups use this building to bring hope to people's lives. AA groups, Narnon groups, grief share, prayer groups, numerous Bible study groups, Red Cross blood drives, food and supply drives, Wednesday night dinners are starting up. List of examples of the living hope of Christ in this building goes on and on and on. Part of that living hope is also the missional support the church gives. It gives to organizations who work in our community to provide hope. Under One Rough Food Bank, Water Fish Mail serves folks who have immigrated to our community. The Project Incorporated, which supports young men without fathers in their lives. Mosaic Ministries, which serves those in need in the old south end of Toledo. And there's two other areas, organizations you support that I am directly involved in. So I'm the executive director of Love and Luggage, a nonprofit organization founded by our own Jim and Sarah Otis, who many of you know. And it was founded to provide unconditional love and practical support for young adults aging out of foster care in Northwest Ohio. And here's, in brief, what Love and Luggage does. Love and Luggage provides students transitioning from foster care with a brand new large duffel bag on wheels for carrying their possessions. We also supply items necessary for independent living and host regular community support dinners where young people connect with peers and learn valuable skills. As you'll see on the sign in the back, I can see it from here. Unconditional love, unconditional care, unconditional support. And they were drawn through this experience as they adopted their daughter, Amanda, 20-some years ago. And the Holy Spirit has directed them into this work with these young folks. And with the support of this church, I also became involved with the group. And I became especially motivated to this work by one stat. I learned that up to 70% of young adults who aged out of foster care end up homeless in their first 2 years that they are emancipated. If you know anything about homelessness, once you become homeless, it's a snowball and all kinds of bad things happen. And I thought personally, convicted of that, I can't allow that to happen anymore. I can't allow that stat to be 70%. The church can't allow that stat to be 70%. And the larger church, Universal, can't allow that stat to be 70%. And I was ordained in March of this year as organizing pastor of Love First New Worshiping Community to work with young adults who are indeed part of Love and Luggage and coming through that program in faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the vision statement for the New Worshiping Community. To build relationships with young adults who have aged out of foster care through mentoring and discipleship. As relationship and discipleship grows through mentoring, young adults are empowered to become faith-sharing leaders in the New Worshiping Community. Their leadership will be the beginning of the formation of a new community anchored in faith in Jesus Christ. And these two organizations, while separate, run side by side. They, because they share one common thing, one thing about who they are designed to be at the core, and that is to display and show the loving hope of Christ, the living hope of Christ. So to give you a little background on how the formation of this relationship started between the two groups, Love and Luggage and Love First, all came out of a conversation I had with Pastor Clint on a drive home from the Fellowship National Gathering in Nashville back in April of 2024. We did some math, and you know, Love and Luggage has 20 to 30 young people come through a year. They've been around for 5 years, 6 years, 100 young people. They're practically being cared for, unconditionally loved. What's the faith side of it look like? What's the Jesus side look like? So we talked about that for 8 hours on the ride home, Clint and I. And here we are 2 years later, 2.5 years later. And as it declared in the first service, if you take an 8-hour car ride with Pastor Clint, your life will never be the same. So as we progressed in discernment and planning of the formation of the new worshiping community over that time, we are at a stage where we have a team of 5 young adults coming out of Love and Luggage who are interested in developing faith and leadership. And they're each being mentored by 2 individuals. These 2 individuals will stand by them in faith, being examples and forces of the living hope in their lives of Jesus, dedicated to staying with them, being with them in life, the good and the bad. As we continue our efforts to build a new community centered on faith and hope in Jesus and around the young adults' personalities and strengths and what they've experienced in life. So to share a story with you about a young man who's been impacted by Love and Luggage and Love First, there was a young man who's 20 years old, met with him in another downtown coffee shop with 2 mentors. And as we're talking to one another, introducing ourselves to one another, getting to know one another, the young man stated that he has had people in his life who said they would be with him, said they would mentor him, and they never lasted more than 2 months or so. They would leave. They would disappear. Again, I think a sign of hopelessness for him. So I told him in that moment, I told him, I'm not going anywhere. The 2 mentors at this table aren't going anywhere. This church isn't going anywhere. The living hope of Jesus isn't going to go anywhere. And this church and the folks who are mentoring him are going to be an example of in this young man's life of what living hope in Jesus looks like. This young man who originally found hope and love and care in Love and Luggage. This last week, I got a photo that was a great encouragement to me. One of the mentors, the young man, is the guy sitting in his chair getting his hair cut with a big smile. The other 2 adult men are mentors. And the person taking the picture is Nate Timbo, who some of you may know. He's a mentor as well, but he's with Young Life in Toledo. That picture meant a lot considering where that young man has come from, that they're supporting him and being with him. So friends, continue to be a place where the living hope of Christ is found and experienced in worship, in prayer, in fellowship, in mission support. I encourage you today to ask you to continue to provide prayer and support for Love and Luggage, hugely important organization. There's none other like it that serves this demographic of people. And to let you know that in the next few years, there's 200 young people in the pipeline. They're going to be coming through Love and Luggage, coming through Lucas County Children's Services, and potentially into Love and Luggage. So continue to prayer, continue support. Jim and Sarah Otis will be back in the back in the narthex afterwards, as well as myself, to talk more about what that looks like, talk more about the new worshiping community. Because the people in our community, they need to see you. They need to see this church. They need to experience the living hope in Christ. As what they experience changes those signs, and they change to hope is found here. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for this church, for these people that you've gathered together. Holy Spirit, I pray that you continue to inspire those who have been born again, born anew, to be examples in this world, in this community, of who and what the living hope of Christ looks like. We also pray for Love and Luggage, and we pray for the new worshiping community, Love First, that you continue to provide resources and people and the heart to continue to serve and love and care for these young people coming out of foster care unconditionally and in your name. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.